If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the latest United We Stand podcast. I'm James Young. United are about to play Spurs at home in a few hours' time. Not being an ideal start to the season, as I'm sure you're aware, the performance in midweek against 20 was just as frustrating as it was against Palace. United struggled to score in both of those games and didn't really take the chances, so we've got to be more clinical today. And I think if it's another bad result, then patience is going to start wearing thin on Ten Hag a bit, because it is the same mistakes every week by players that he's predominantly signed. So we'll see how it goes today. We'll chat to a few people, but the mood around Old Trafford is not great, to be honest. I think the buzz off the cup final is slowly starting to wear off a bit, and people are beginning to lose patience.
Podcast is brought to you in association with Footy Tipster. If you like to bet on the football but don't have time to research your selections, Footy Tipster's here to help. Fellow Red Sam and his team provide football tips for all the major European leagues, including United games. The lads at Footy Tipster put in hours of research to find the best bets for their subscribers and email their selection straight to your inbox hassle-free. They've been running the online service for over a decade and have ended each season in profit. If you want to outbeat the bookies, simply head to footytipster.co.uk and claim your free 7-day trial. If you enjoy the service, you can carry on for just £10 a month. If it's not for you, just cancel within the trial period and don't pay a penny. The link is below. That's footytipster.co.uk.
Come on!
All right. With Binsey, we're outside Old Trafford.
As usual.
Manchester United versus Spurs, what do you think is going to happen today?
I haven't got a clue. You don't know who's going to turn up, what's going to turn up. I was behind Eric, but his decisions against the Dutch club, that FC 20. I mean, Rashford, last season, his fucking name was the first name on the sheet. He gets 3 goals in 2 games and he puts him on the bench. I don't understand him.
What did you make of Wednesday? Did you see much of it?
Yeah, no, I only seen the highlights. The same again. Same thing that's been happening for 3 years. Can't put the ball in the net. Go and buy a striker, fucking. Because everyone he buys is injured. You get one game and then they're injured. I don't know what's going on. And Hoyland, he's a kid. We need him. Fucking seasoned striker, get out there and go buy one. We should have bought Harry Kane, you know what I mean? And go buy that Cole Palmer as well.
But even from City, you still have a City player in the
He's a Red, his family are Reds, the Reds. And he's gone to Chelsea, so he's not come via them.
Right.
No, I just don't know. I don't. If we get beat today, and we get beat at West Ham, because when we go to West Ham, it's their Champions League final. Every season, if we get beat there, I think he's gone. And he can't. He's been the most backed manager.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know who's advising him about doing fucking interviews, but they need to tell someone to tell him to say, let him think he's in a police station, and when he asks him a question, he goes, no comment. All right.
Yeah, we'll be playing West Ham next week. I went there last season when we got beat, and it was a moody place. Are you a fan of London or not?
No. We were going to West Ham in the 70s, man. Fucking big Cockney gangsters they are, aren't they? Cockney white boys. This is their best. As soon as the fixtures come out, don't care. Any West Ham fan, the first they look for, when are we playing Man U? Unfortunately, it happens for a lot of them.
Yeah.
Jealous.
Did you ever go to Spurs' old ground?
Yeah, White Hart Lane, went there in the 70s, the 80s. That was a naughty place to go to for the away fans. But the Red Army always turned up wherever they were, you know what I mean?
Strength in numbers.
Yeah, that's the one. And we were shit then. Yeah. And it looks like we're going back to being shit.
I love looking at like old photos of like Euston Station and stuff from the 70s and the 80s where all the away fans were down at the same time. It looked just like chaos.
I don't even recognise Euston Station. I was there last year. Don't recognise the Euston Station I used to know. You know what I mean?
I don't get why they announce the platform number and then you've got to run for the train as well. Like, it's the most poorly designed train station I've ever seen. Like, it's like, have you ever been to that platform 14 at Piccadilly? You know, you've got to go up the thing, up the stairs and then...
And then over, I don't pay on trains anyway. No. I do now, I'm a fucking pensioner, but we didn't pay on them in them days. Who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But hopefully we can get a win. They're both attacking sides, aren't they? We both leak goals as well. I don't know. I've lost faith, mate.
It's your birthday, though. You're not happy about that?
Me? No. Of course, I'm always I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'd like these to win. That will make me happy. Right. Very happy.
How did you celebrate your birthday?
Coming here, working.
Right.
I'm too old now. When you get to be over a certain age, you're not interested in birthdays. Yeah. It's for kids, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, so, I'll leave you to it.
Upwards and onwards, son.
Yeah. Nice
take
one.
It easy.
Take care, mate. Yeah. Nice one. I'm doing the podcast today. So,
do you remember what's he called? From Darlington. He's like, he hasn't been here for about two seasons. What a weirdo. Mick, stay here. You're getting on the podcast, little Roddy. You go anyway. You go. Stay here, get on the podcast. Hey, Bradley! Got you! As if you sold the Liverpool ticket to some little Raji! Bad mate!
Ah, oh, fucking hell, he's here!
Ah, it's Andy Mitten! He is Andy Mitten! Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, you're Andy Mitten, right? I've never met him. It's like he's a ghost!
He is a ghost!
He's a ghost!
Doesn't exist!
Yeah, right, so I was watching it last night, Fucking, what's it called? Ghost! With Sigourney Weaver and fucking Patrick Swayze.
Demi Moore. Right.
And I was like, this reminds me of Going the Game. Like, Andy Mitten's just like one of them, like, goths. Like, never said, not a goth. Like, I don't... Here, Paul, come here. Here, we run hotel football, by the way. We're at the front, right? We run hotel football, don't we? We decide what songs to sign.
Right.
So yous run outside here, right? Because I always buy this. My missus doesn't understand. She's like, I'll put that in the bin, yeah.
That's
like,
not Red Issue, is it?
Or frequent.
Can you still get Red Issue? It's done.
Oh, there's only two of them there. You weren't here the other
so
week.
So what's this
right?
one?
It wasn't this season.
United We Stand.
So I went and bought one off the other lad, right? And then I got home, I went.
How much them?
It was like, frequent, buy two. Draw, buy thing.
I've just given you my left tenner. Off.
So, half time. Just can hear the boos around Old Trafford. Pretty loud. Manchester United 0, Spurs 1. Bruno Fernandes got sent off for what I thought was decision that was fairly harsh. Spurs scored really early on. United create chances again, but they've still not scored. Rashford, Garnacho, both came close, but again, same issues as before.
Once again, can we to all our friends from Malta, and the team Malta support.
Right, it's Manchester United 0, Spurs 3. It's about 10 minutes left. The ground's emptying around me. It's pissing it down. It's been another bad day at the office for Ten Hag's side, and not a good day. Just listen to how quiet it is, it's crazy. It's full time. United 0, Spurs 3, with three of the Salahs. It's miserable, isn't it, today?
I've got a lot to say, mate.
Yeah,
more than when we win.
Shall I mean, start off?
Go for it.
Well, we had this bit of a conversation 10 days ago, whenever it was, when we played Barnsley. And there's a few people getting a bit giddy because we beat Barnsley 7-0. And here we are. Forget what we could and should have done at Palace and forget what we could have should have done against 20. But we're three games further on where we drew 0-0, we drew 1-2. Bunch of part-timers from the Dutch league, and we've been beat by Spurs. that's the icing on the cake, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not quite sure whether he can actually wake up tomorrow morning and still be in a job.
They won't sack him. I don't think they will anyway. Whether they should, I mean, he's a very lucky man, isn't he? Because, I mean, United, you wouldn't get a club that size keeping you on, you know, with what he's been through so far. So he's already on, like, shaky ground. I just think that, you know, the thing that I'm really disappointed about most is that he'd learnt nothing from the Liverpool game. The system was exactly the same. The starting lineup was exactly the same. The only difference was that Casemiro came out for Ugarte. And that's not going to make the difference you need, you know, at the top level, is it? And for me, you know, it was obvious today. I'm not sure why he started with Xerxes. Offers nothing that a false nine couldn't. And then you still light in midfield. So just my disappointment with the team. Selection, disappointment with the approach. And I thought, obviously, we got what we deserved in the first half. I think we'll come on to the red card, I think, yeah.
I was walking down the steps, yeah, got in the ground, and within 90 seconds, I saw them having about two chances from us trying to play out from the back, and then eventually a tapping when our fullback in Delo seemed to be about 8 yards away from it.
They weren't on it from the off. Yeah. Like, as soon as the whistle blew, they looked lackluster. You could just tell they weren't up for it.
Why, off. Mate?
It stems from the
they
manager.
They played with 10 men on Thursday night.
Exactly.
Haven't they?
Well, I watched Delo, like, on that goal, and at one point he's about 2 yards behind him,
but he
just completely stops. Yeah.
What does that tell you, though?
But this is even more reason with United at the moment. They've got to get in the game. Like, I wouldn't have minded if, like, for example, they made attacking changes in the second half, but we got absolutely cut to shreds against Liverpool, and exactly the same thing happened in the first half, and Ugarte for Casemiro is not going to be the answer to competing with a top team and getting demolished off one. You know, it's just a like-for-like change, so it's systematic every time. And he's, you know, you saw that at the end of last season, you think, oh, he's finally learning something a bit here. Like, our midfield is absolutely wide open, which we've been saying since Wolves at home in the first game of last season. And he's just, like, doing the same mistake. It reminds me more of, like, a Solskjaer ending than something else, because Solskjaer got to the point where he was just picking the same team every time.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's doing exactly the same thing. He's not actually realising, is it?
They've got a big decision to make in the next couple of weeks. There's an international break coming up, and you just wonder.
I'll get beef thinking on at Thursday the top. In Porto.
Exactly, and you've got Villa away after that. You're thinking, they've got to be thinking now, we've got a 2 week break to get someone in. They've got to be looking at targets now. You've got to be honest about it now. After that again today, you've just seen this, like Ant said, you've seen the same thing all the time. And they've got these lot surely must be more ruthless than the last lot.
I've said this about the last three or four managers, and I've said it at least once, at points like this where you think almost that the players aren't playing for the manager. And that first 20 minutes, half an hour, vindicates that for me. How many passes, easy passes, were just going astray? These are seasoned international players. I'm not having it that everybody can have such a bad half an hour.
I disagree with that a bit, because I just think that.
But how shit was that?
I think
first
it's the system. Delo isn't lacking, you know, like, full effort. Obviously, he went to sleep on the first goal. Completely, you know, old man's up there, but I see it as, like, players not being available for the ball, so poor passes, players wanting extra touch on the ball when they haven't got one because they're actually trying to wait for someone to get in space. All of United's issues for me, we can talk all day about the squad, but that squad is far better than what we're seeing week on week. Yeah.
It definitely is.
There's absolutely no question about it.
And that's why I think it vindicates what I'm possibly trying to accuse them of.
Yeah. But no, I'm not sure it is that, though, because I see players holding on to the ball too long because they don't know where the men are to pass to. You know, when you see a good outfit, they know exactly where the next pass is.
We're disjointed.
And then we bought like a player. I'm not joking, and I don't want to like exaggerate too much because stuff like this can come back to bite you. But I don't think I've ever watched a player as bad as Xerxes in the first five games. I just don't understand what we bought him for.
They're ghost.
Like, The difference is that Vegas ran. He closed down. You know,
I said I made the point. I made the point against Fulham. I know it was his first game, that, but he looked like he was a bit of a plodder.
He wants 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you can't do that in this league.
He doesn't look an athlete, does he?
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
So he's not. He doesn't run. He doesn't close down. He's not a good. He's not a striker. So we're sort of admitting, aren't we, that at best he's a number 10, and we've got our captain's a number 10. We never take him off. We never drop him, and we've also got Mason Mount that plays number 10. So what on earth have we bought him from?
Mason,
you know, Mason Mount.
Who's that?
Yeah. I mean, the Liverpool game was 3-0, and it was a very similar performance in the same thing.
Dillett played against Liverpool, didn't he? Same lineup except for Agate.
Agate was out.
So he's actually picked the same system as he did against Liverpool. Yeah. And for me, I don't know if I think we're a bit new to this director of football thing, aren't we? But I do wonder if we're sort of like telling the manager now what system he's got to play. Because why on earth would you do that?
I know. Yeah.
You know, just makes no sense.
But it was the same thing on Wednesday against 20. United was so open again at the back. And like today, every time Spurs got forward, even though United have signed Onana, they've signed De Ligt, they've signed players to try and sort that position out, but it's just worse.
Still the same.
Every attack, you don't like scoring.
Well, I mean, I know what you said at the start, Stuart, but I honestly can't see him getting sacked tonight. Or he'll be manager for midweek and weekend. I have no doubt about that.
I just think it's a massive few weeks this now. Yeah. They've got to make a decision in the next few weeks.
But then you win, you know, if we win on Thursday, and we're not going to necessarily lose both matches, are we? So
I mean, where are the goals coming from though as well?
But we shouldn't be making those.
We've got a corner on the first corner on the hour mark. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was absolutely horrendous that first half, and red card. You know, talking about that, it wasn't a red card, was it?
Didn't help.
No.
I've seen it back a couple of times. I think the thing that made it a red in the ref's eyes and VAR, because obviously they've looked at it, I think if he's gone with his laces, because he was quite high, wasn't he? Was it knee?
He's slipped and he's gone high, obviously.
Yeah, but he's falling. He's slipped, but he's carried on with the tackle. Yeah, I think if he goes with laces, it stays a yellow. Yeah. I think
it's
a
yellow at best.
His fat, his studs were up. Mm. His foot was up, and so his studs were there. Even though it wasn't like one of them, I think that's what has made it a red.
For me, though, that's a trip. So his heel touches Maddison's shin. So that's not a red card, is it?
So are we saying the ref and VAR then are wrong in this case, again?
Yeah, so...
I'm guessing VAR has looked at it. They must.
Yeah, have, so you know? VAR look at it, but they don't overturn it unless it's an absolute foul.
Or they can send to the ref, to the screen, can't they?
Well, no, they would. Yeah, they do that if he's going to overturn it. Once he goes to the screen, he's going to overturn it.
There's a red card overturned when we played Wolves away. Do you remember a couple of years back when one of ours got sent off and they switched it?
Yeah, but I mean, we're in a different ball game with a different game with VAR now, aren't we? Because they've said that this year they're not overturning anything unless it's an absolute howler. So,
the fact
disappointed with the ref, me, because I thought
he's
better off giving the VAR the chance to upgrade it than the other way around. You know, he can't be absolutely certain that that's a red card, can he? So why give a red card?
So my theory of that we're playing in Portugal this week and then Bruno can stay here for 10 days and holiday is invalid. Because he's got 3 weeks off.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Maybe not.
He wouldn't do that. But again, his form's so worrying, isn't it? It's like
it is.
It's probably the worst I've seen.
But again, tonight didn't take him off on Wednesday night.
No.
Yeah.
You know, we've not spoken about Wednesday night, have we? But
he's trying too hard. That's the problem.
Yeah. Exactly. He's not giving certain people breaks at the right time. There's a squad for a reason. I thought he was going to do that. He did it with Mainu for a game or two. He's got to do it with him. He's got the chance now because he's been sent off. But
Cobby actually gave Bruno a bit of verbal. I can't remember what minute it was, 15, 20 minutes, just on the left-hand side. I think he gave a ball away, and I think Cobby was like, what the fuck are you doing? Sort of thing. Or are you blaming me? Or
I reckon since he's been here, it's definitely the worst I've seen him. Yeah. So in a patch of form.
That was all the more reason, though, today, to shore up our midfield. Because if he plays as a false nine, he's doing exactly the same job as Xerxes, isn't he? Mm. So, why not just shore up your midfield with Mason Mount, you know, and have Fernandes as your false nine?
Yeah.
Just made absolutely no sense to me what he did.
And I've not seen Spurs. I've seen highlights and stuff over the last, you know, like most people, match of the day and stuff. And I watched quite a lot of the Arsenal game when we got beat 1-0. But Maddison's been, you know, like Maddison was a few years ago. He's, you know, he's yes, we know he's got an injury track record, but he's been their best player. So if I've seen that, surely Manchester United first team coaching team have seen that, and someone to sit on him. You know, that would have been the game, like McTominay or Phil Neville back in the day, or Fletcher would have sat on him maybe to stop him, because he was their playmaker and it was just too easy for him.
And also, you know how Spurs are going to play under Postecoglou, and United have beaten them before because they play with such a high line going forward. And they just did the same thing that was so predictable. That's the frustrating thing. You know exactly how Spurs are going to play.
Yeah, well, I think the one pass from Manana when it went through to Rashford, and eventually the flag went up. I'm guessing Rashford was only about less than 10 yards inside the Spurs half. But how was he offside? If you know, it must be pretty obvious when you're Rashford looking back towards Manana that he's going to kick the ball long.
I've not seen that, but I didn't think that was offside. At best, it was very tight, because I was right in line with that.
He didn't score anyway, did he?
No.
But that's why he was allowed to play on. But yeah, you're right, they do play a high line. And I think, that, again, there was quite an easy ball, again, quite early on, when Bruno could have just dinked it over the top, and he hit it straight at the fullback. Garnacho would have been through on goal. Mm. It was literally on the halfway line. He could have put it anywhere else, Bruno. Fucking hit it straight out of white shirt. So, anyway, good night. See you later.
Yeah, so we've got Porto next, haven't we?
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of lads going out tomorrow, and they have a good trip. And
That's actually something that I wanted to touch on, because United have changed it now with European aways. They're not doing collections anymore, which I think just opens itself up for people to abuse the credit system.
Yeah, there's a worry of a closed shop there. But the forum I've mentioned it, the fans forum of Suppio.
Yeah, I reckon in the next few years there's probably a better way of doing it anyway, because obviously you've got these app things now and, you know, that kind of thing. But I do feel sorry for kind of the people that go to every Euro away and have to go to a part of the city and collect a ticket and, you know, queue up for ages. So it's I can understand both sides to that, really. It's
won't be a problem next season, will it?
Well, they'll probably introduce, like, they'll probably get the Intertoto cut back so we can play in it or something
that. We're just going to championship with City. Fuck it.
So I think so obviously you're like really negative here.
With reason,
no doubt, but
a lot
like,
of reason.
Yeah, a lot of reason. Yeah.
Go on, but then, what are you going to say?
What are you predicting for this season then?
Pain.
Well, certainly not predicting top four, and I wasn't before we kicked a ball against Fulham back in August.
Still in the League Cup.
My hope was that we'd finish a lot closer than whoever wins the league, whatever it was, 35 points, which is what it's been for the last 6 or 7 seasons. My hope would have been even 20 points, whoever wins the league, would have been progress. And obviously the aim has got to be to try and somehow win the Europa League, but stood here right now, pissing down. Not even October.
No.
How depressing is that? Yes. To think that we can't even—I can't even begin to think about going to Lisbon. Is it?
Yeah.
No, for the final.
Oh, it's Bilbao.
Yeah. Bilbao. May. Yeah. That just seems a million miles away. Yeah. Unfortunately.
And Spurs are in that competition, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go then. Yeah. No chance.
They play
in the final.
So to improve on last season. Are we gonna lose less than 10 league games? Are we gonna finish better than zero goal difference? Are we -3 now again?
Yeah,
it's the goals for me. It's gonna. I said it last season. It was a massive problem. We didn't do anything.
We obviously
about
don't
it
know.
Time,
you so. Never know what happens close season and even in January about trying to bring him. But surely to God, the priority was a striker.
Oh, it had to be for me. It was.
And that's what's really annoying me about Xerxes. And you know, maybe I'm being actually harsh on him, but he was the last thing that United needed, weren't he?
Yeah.
We don't need another number 10. Like somebody who drops deep and languid and
the same when we got
everything
like
else.
Matter and all that business. Yeah. Yeah. Number 10s.
Fellaini was a better player than Xerxes.
Well, Fellaini is
more of a threat.
Yeah, he was. But yeah, I just don't understand for the price we paid, you know. We could have got Ivan Toney, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Or Kane.
Well, we couldn't have got Kane for the price we paid.
No, but
for
the price of Xerxes and Hoyland combined.
Oh yeah,
just could have got him instead.
Yeah.
But then you never win anything. if he scored 50 goals in the Bundesliga and still not won a trophy, he's never winning anything, is he? And I hate saying that because I wanted Kane 5 years ago, but anyway.
Harry Kane sailed. Would probably like a bloody beer.
We'll buy him. We'll buy him next summer. We'll buy him for fucking for 40 million next summer. Yeah. It'll be another Zlatan, it'll be another Cavani, another Larsson. Mm. Honestly, it'll be here next year. Don't worry about that.
But yeah, it's... Do you think it's fixable then? Like not Manchester United, Ten Hag holds his hands up tomorrow and says, I've played a shit system there again for the second time at home against a good side. There's something fundamentally wrong and I need to change the system quickly. Like, is it fixable? Because I think it's all systematic, mate. I've watched our midfield absolutely wide open against any team worth a wank in every single game except for the cup final when he played four centre midfielders.
We've been, yeah. In answer to your question, I think no at the moment.
But is that because of how stubborn he is?
Possibly. And, you know, we need a settle back four. Luke Shaw, for me, needs to go. And I hate saying that because a fit Luke Shaw gets in any four in the Premier League, in Europe, probably. But I think he needs to go. Whether Dalot is the answer, and again, I think he's been getting a bit of a rough ride in the last 9-12 months, Dalot. But today, again, a bit like Wan-Bissaka switching off. So God
playing
knows
left back, though, as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
De Ligt's come in, different league. Martinez come out from an injury. So it's all still very new at the back, you know, and that's where you build from. The spine, what is our spine? I don't think Oyland's the answer up front. So what's until you sort that spine out, a settle back to a permanent, someone who's going to play 10, 12, 15 games on the trot in midfield and the same number nine, it's never going to settle down. No.
And I think
on top of that, you've got Mount, who's gone off injured again. You've got Bruno, who wants to play every second of every game. Again, is that down to the manager not having the balls to drag him off? So I still think there's lots to fix, unfortunately, which sounds really, really bad, but I'm just a realist.
Do you think he's part of the problem, Bruno?
Yeah, possibly.
Because the one for me is, he's obviously, really appreciate everything he's done for United. I love his attitude, you know. But I do think that his position stops us playing three in midfield.
Yeah.
So if he's not going to be somebody scoring 15, assisting 15, then you can't do it because you're sacrificing your formation for him.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see when he's out now in the next few weeks.
I think Bellini's got more chance of scoring 15 goals for United this season than Bruno Fernandes at the moment.
I haven't advertised.
Yeah, that to me is really worrying, and that's why I was a real advocate for playing false nine today, because I just can't understand how we can play that midfield once again. You know,
against Spurs.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Yeah. Are we having a man of the match?
Well, I stood there at half time and said,
"It's got to be on now."
You couldn't genuinely give anyone more than five.
Casemiro had a nice little 1-2 with it when he nearly scored.
I thought that second goal of Tottenham's was a foul on him as well. Did you see that?
Yeah,
a push in the back
on the halfway line.
Yeah,
didn't he slip?
He was underneath the ball.
Well, before
and Solanke ran 8 yards from behind him and pushed him in.
Can
the
I
back.
Just go back about 6 seconds because I noticed that Casemiro decided to let the ball bounce. Watch it back tonight. Casemiro allowed the ball to bounce, went over his head. Next minute, Martinez slipped.
That's it. So before that ball bounces, though, he gets pushed in the back by Solanke. Yeah, because he's underneath the ball, ready to edit.
Right,
and he pushes him forward. He runs about 8 yards from behind him and pushes him forward. So I might look stupid when I see it on TV, and it's like soft as shite.
Well, I wish I sent a forward to do a bit of pushing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm not doing a man of the match. So
no, I'm not.
I'll have the goal. Yeah.
He's conceded three goals.
Right. What's next? Next issue of United with Stan Wenzel, also
Brentford.
Brentford.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Doesn't rain, it pours, eh? Metaphorically and in real life. It lagged it down against 20 and it absolutely lagged it down after the Spurs game, so it just completely destroyed the magazines that we had to sell. Celavi, this is what happens, this is life, and it's a pretty bad time for Manchester United at the moment, but we will crack on. We'll go to Porto, we'll do the next podcast there, and then go to Villa at the weekend. These are interesting times. And then I will leave Villa and go to Ethiopia and Tanzania, because I'm going to climb Kilimanjaro for the Manchester United Foundation, helping out kids in Manchester who really do need help. I'd appreciate every penny of sponsorship. Just look at my Just Giving site, type my name in, and if you can put £1 in there, then that is great. I'm going to take two weeks off unpaid to to try and do this. I'm doing it with Brian Robson and some Reds. Robbo, the legendary former captain of Manchester United in England. And I'm a bit nervous because I'm going up to 6,000 metres, so the big risk is altitude sickness. It's not the technical side of the climb. This isn't like going up Everest or K2. It's just you go really, really high. It takes about 6 days to get to the top. But I will give it my best shot. And the next podcast will be from Porto in a few days. Head up, Reds.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.